for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, May the 26th, 2000. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Donna Martin Fee of Venice, Florida, and Cajun, Ontario, Psalms 40 Ministry, is the speaker of the evening.
Before I start my message, I'd like to introduce myself and tell you why God uses me, and also tell you why I'm here. Well, I'm a nobody that wants to tell everybody about a somebody that can save anybody. When the Lord called me to ministry, I said, "Lord, you want me to preach?" I didn't even want to go anywhere near a microphone, so how am I going to stand up in front of people and preach? And he said, "Oh, yes, for you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, how not many mighty, how not many noble are chosen. Donna, you're not wise, you're not mighty, you're not noble. You are the perfect candidate." So in churches, I always say, if you're sitting out there and you're not being mightily used of God, you're either just too smart or just too important. Just come on down. And now I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm here because of Psalm 40. And Psalm 40, I grabbed it the day I was saved. I found it in the Bible, and I thought God wrote it just for me. It's my psalm. I put it on my license plate. I call my ministry Psalm 40 Ministry. And Psalm 40 says, "He lifted me up out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit, and set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And he put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Others shall see what he's done for me and put their trust in him." And that's the message the Lord gave me for this weekend. I came all prepared with a message. I thought it was a good message, too. And the Lord said, "Put it away," yesterday. And I was out there writing as fast as I could. And he wanted me to give you a part of my testimony and to lead into two demonic encounters that I had after I was a Christian. I'll tell you about some of the demonic encounters I had before I was a Christian. But he wants you to realize how it happens, how easily it happens, and how we open doors to the demonic in our life. And I believe from these two experiences that you will really get a handle and see things in your own life. I'm going to really stick to my notes because I'm very long-winded. My husband says I can speak at 80 miles an hour with gusts of up to 100. And if I don't stick to my notes, I start at point A, and to get to point B, I go L-M-N-O-P, X-Y-Z, and everywhere else, and I never get to point B. So I want to get you to point B, so I'm going to stick to my notes. And basically my testimony, the back of my book, this is my book, and it says, "This is a true story of a woman who was left to die on the Alps as a child. Now, my parents were escaping communist Yugoslavia. They were escaping Croatia back in, I think it was the year 1950. And we were going over the Alps into Austria where the Red Cross would pick us up off of the mountains and then find a country that would take us. And I was just a bit too heavy to carry, so they left me behind, sitting on a mountain on the Alps out in somewhere in Austria, I think. And I realized I was not my parents' favorite child. I was their only child, but nevertheless, I was still not their favorite. And my dad's half-brother went back, got me, and he carried me into Austria. Otherwise, I'd be about yay tall sitting on a mountain, frozen solid somewhere. She was abused, beaten, and set on fire by her aunt. This is when we got to Canada. This woman tied me to furniture. She beat me black and blue. She set my hair on fire one time. I don't know how I got to be 6 years old, but I was raised on terror, literally terrified every day of my life for a year while I lived with her. And my parents just left me there. That's another really whole long story. But I realized that I wasn't her favorite child either. She wanted to give her own child everything life had to offer. only to have her be born deformed and die shortly thereafter. When I met my husband, he was also from Croatia. When I met my husband, he came from a very similar background. He was an abused child, verbally, emotionally. Fortunately, neither of us were sexually abused. But we couldn't wait to have a baby. We wanted to give our child everything that we had not had in our whole life. And I was 19 years old when our daughter was born. And she was born with spina bifida. And I didn't have an understanding of God. I just hoped there was a God. But out of pain and the frustration of what had just happened, the hospital said that she was going to die any day, that she would only live for a few days. I screamed out at God, not out of anger, just out of, what have I ever done to you to deserve this? You know, before we were Christians, we have this very long list of righteousness. So I came before him. I couldn't sleep in the bedroom. I came home 8 days after she was born, and we left the crib set up beside her bed because to take it down would be almost to terminate her, to make it final. And I hoped beyond hope that, you know, somehow they were just going to patch it up. They were going to put a Band-Aid on it, and everything was going to be okay. And looking at that empty crib, I came out in the living room, and I screamed out at God, why did you do this to me? Look at the life I've had. What did I ever do to you to deserve this? And I heard the audible voice of God. And I heard him say, I didn't do this to you, but I will repay you. I will send you twin boys, saith the Lord God. The voice was majestic. You didn't have to ask who it was. The whole room spoke. The carpet, the curtains, the TV set, the coffee table, every atom in the room projected this voice. Now, my husband, I was raised in Canada from the time I was like 5 years old, but my husband was raised in communist Yugoslavia, so he was an atheist. He couldn't understand how adults could believe in God. He thought we were just mental midgets over in this country, in Canada, actually. You know, it was like believing in the tooth fairy or in Santa Claus. He lumped God in with them because, anyway, I went in and I said, Darko, get up. God's in the living room. We're going to have twin boys. And he very, very cautiously came out. Just in case. And he said, no, Donna, there's no God here. Lay down. We'll get you some pills. Everything is going to be all right. 3 o'clock in the morning, I've just talked to God. He thinks I'm going to go lay down. I phoned everybody I knew. 3 a.m. I'm going to have boys. I'm going to have twins. God just told me. And I couldn't understand why everybody's response was the same. Lie down. We'll get you some pills. Everything's going to be okay. But you know, when my daughter was born, I figured I wasn't God's favorite either. But according to his word, my daughter died July 16th, 1968, at 11:35 at night. And according to God's word, my twins were born on the very day, a year later, at almost exactly 11:35 at night, according to God's word. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And I phoned everybody and I said, I told you so. And they said, no, Donna. It was the power of positive thinking. It was mind over matter. You know, they came up with all kinds of excuses and all kinds of reasons. So I just put God aside, and I went about happily raising my little family. And, you know, back in the 70s, everything was keeping up with the Joneses. And then they decided that keeping up with the Joneses wasn't enough, that women had to have a career. You weren't fulfilled and you weren't satisfied unless you had a career. So I had my two little boys, and of course I wasn't going to be happy without a career, so I went out and I got into real estate. And the thing to do with real estate every Friday afternoon was going to go to the psychics. We went to very good psychics. On top of real estate, I have to mention that I translated for the provincial courts in Ontario, too. So I knew the psychics that the police used to find missing children and everything else. So we didn't just go to the, you know, $1 ones. We went to the, you know, the pros. And I found something all right, but what I had found was the pit of hell. And the worse things got, the more I went to the psychics. And the more I went to the psychics every Friday, the worse things became. She lived two terrifying years of poltergeist, each day more horrifying than the last. And I'm not going to itemize all the events that happened because time just won't permit. And when I speak in churches, I really can't itemize the type of things that happened to us because people just wouldn't believe it. It was on a daily basis. It was preposterous things, and you knew it was demonic. I missed a lot of my story here, but we had a third child. We had another little boy, so I had three children. By this time, we came to the point where we were terrified for the life of our children. That's how bad things got. My third son, my youngest son, is a minister of music up in Kent, Ohio, and we often sit and we talk about the phenomena and the poltergeist that we saw at our house, especially over this particular two-year period. But what I want to say that psychics and Ouija boards and even reading your horoscope will open you up to the occult. You don't have to get involved in Satanism to have Satan come after you like a torrent and to cause you all kinds of evil and to cause you all kinds of havoc. And the powers of darkness will wreak havoc in your life, whether you believe it or not. Whether you believe fire burns or not is irrelevant. You stick your hand in a flame and you're going to get hurt. You're going to get blistered. You've got major trouble. And the devil plays for keeps. And he is just looking for an opportunity or a door for you to open so that he can come in and that he can cause you this kind of misery. I'm going to jump a little forward in my testimony to when my daughter would have been 13 years old, because by that time we were already saved, and I'll get back to telling you how that happened. But I always wondered why God said to me, I didn't do this to you, because I knew enough about God. I had enough understanding of God, if there was a God, that he was the one that gives and takes life. But when my daughter would have been 13 years old, the Lord revealed to me the meaning of those words. And when I was pregnant with her, they didn't have ultrasound back then. They didn't have the equipment that they have today. And I wanted to know if I was going to have a girl or if I was going to have a boy. So a girl at work said, why don't you come over to my house and we'll take out a Ouija board. I didn't even know what one was. So we started asking it, am I going to have a girl? Am I going to have a boy? Am I going to have this? Am I going to have that? And all of a sudden, it started to move. And I knew that it was moving on its own because, first of all, it spelled out my real name, which is not Donna. Donna is my Canadian name. Gordana is my real name. It spelled out, Gordana's baby has the bad H-E-A-R-D. We didn't know if it was head or if it was heart, but it scared us both half to death. And the Lord reminded me that back then, because I had gone looking for the supernatural, I had to suffer the consequences of the supernatural. I basically tied his hands from interfering. We reap what we sow. And I had gone after the powers of darkness, and it was the powers of darkness that had deformed my child and caused her to have spina bifida, not God. He did not do that. It was my own doing. But because of psychics that we were going to, and they were telling me things to do. Now, I was raised Catholic, but Catholic to the type where you went to baptisms, you went to weddings, and you went to funerals and Easter Sunday, so you didn't get excommunicated. And that's as much the Catholic that I was. But these psychics were telling me to go to churches with the names of, I think it was female saints, because I remember they were very difficult to find, so it must have been female saints. Get holy water, take rosemary, which I didn't even know what it was, and stand in my corners and say the Apostle Creed and bless every corner of every house. Well, I thought I was doing something very, very religious. I thought I was doing something very holy. What I was doing was performing witchcraft and basically doing voodoo. And the more I did of that, a torrent of demonic spirits moved into our house. And like I said, time does not permit for me to tell you the kind of stuff that happened, but just one incident. I was standing in the shower after a whole bunch of stuff had happened in our house, and our house was only 18 years old. Canada has the highest building standards in the world. This house was not rotting. This house was not badly built. The tiles were plinging across the shower, hitting the shower curtain on the other side. If this house had been rotting, the tiles would have been falling into the tub. They wouldn't have been plinging across. When it plings, you can suspect that that it's demonic. And Darko and I were sitting in the kitchen one day after about 2 years of this, and he said, Donna, something is after us. He didn't believe in God, but he knew that there was something evil out there, that there was a force out there. And I said, Darko, the devil himself is after us. And as I said that, our kitchen cupboard flung open with a bang, so it got our attention. And we had a bunch of Tupperware dishes sitting in a Corningware dish. The Tupperware didn't move. The Corningware dish that they were in flies out about 10 feet over our head, and it just exploded with like a sonic boom. There wasn't even a chip to pick up off the floor or pick up off the table. It was just powder. We were so used to this kind of phenomena happening that we just got up and went to bed, didn't even clean up the mess. Fortunately, that weekend, I ran into a real estate agent that I'd seen, and I went to present an offer with her, and all she was talking about was Jesus. And Jesus this and Jesus that, and I love Jesus so much. And I thought, she looks normal. I know she makes a lot of money in real estate. It's kind of kooky, but I thought I'd tell her about my two different experiences that I had with God. And this is a portion of my story. Once God spoke to me out loud, and I just went off busy raising my little family. Another time, when my youngest would have been about 2, so my older boys would have been about 6, I had an 8.5-hour experience with God. I wish I had time to tell you about it, but please, read it in my book. 8.5 hours in the presence of God, and my husband comes along, and the boys were with me. I thought we died. I thought we had been hit by a car and I was in purgatory, because they told me about purgatory too. So I thought it was in a place between heaven and earth, and I knew there were angels everywhere. I mean, there were angels on both sides of the road, and my ancestors for hundreds of years back, I knew each and every single one who they were. I just had this revelation knowledge of God and paradise. And 8 hours of this, my husband comes along. He sees me because he could see me from the house where I was, and he comes along and he says, "Hi, what are you doing here? What's for supper?" And when I saw him coming, I thought, oh, he's dead too. Isn't that nice that God would have arranged for him to die on the same day we did? So he won't be lonely, right? But when he said, what's for supper? Because for 8 hours, I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to smoke. Therefore, I knew something supernatural had happened. If I went without a cigarette for 8 hours, I used to smoke in the shower. I could not go the 20 minutes without a nicotine fit. I would smoke in the shower and find out how to keep my cigarette dry. When he came along, he panicked, because I said, don't you hear God? Don't you see God, Darko? And he said to the kids, what's wrong with her? Mommy's been talking to God all day, right? So he starts to drag me home to call an ambulance. I start to scream. He lifts me up, puts me over his shoulder, and he starts running for the house. So I started to scream rape, because I didn't want to go back there. I wanted to stay with God and the angels, because where my house was in an area that was all evil and foreboding and dark, and this half-mile perimeter around me was light and life. And, I mean, I actually had a born-again experience, which I didn't realize at that time. And so next thing you know, the police come, and they've got their guns drawn. And they recognize me from court, because I was always in court. They used to take me on drug busts with them so I could translate. They used to take me on arrests with them. And it was two officers that knew me from court. So they had their guns drawn, and my husband's yelling, it's not me, it's not me, it's her. She's been talking to God all day. So the two officers said, Donna, what are you on? And he said, she's never taken drugs. She's never taken drugs. She's not on drugs. So they took me to the psychiatric hospital, and I had to prove myself sane. It took me over 3 days. I didn't ever want to see God again. I didn't want him to talk to me. I thought they'd never let me out if it happens again. I didn't know anybody until this real estate agent. And she said that everybody at her church talks to God and he talks back. And I said, he does? She said, yes, you have to come and see me be baptized this Sunday. And I said, baptized? At your age? She said, oh, yes, you have to be immersed in water. Just being sprinkled on is not enough. And I said, where are they going to get the water? She said, oh, they have a big tank up in, you know, near the ceiling of their church. I said, I've got to come see that. Life was a mountain that she couldn't climb over, go under, around, or through. And then, one miracle after another. I walked into a church, born again, spirit filled. I didn't know I'd never heard the expression born again. I had never heard the expression evangelist or televangelist. I didn't know what that was. I thought what happened in Protestant churches was the same thing that happened in Catholic churches. I didn't know anything, right? I walked in, my hair was down to my waist, and it felt like it shot straight out of my head. And I kept putting up my hand to put it down, but it was lying exactly where I was. And these electrical currents were going up and down in my body. It felt like people behind me were touching me just very gently with a cool hand under the back of my neck, under my hair. And I kept turning around to see if they were touching me. And that's when I saw it. I had never, ever seen anyone worshiping God. I had never seen that kind of love that they were expressing to God in my whole life. But because of the electrical currents, because of everything I was experiencing, I thought maybe the pew was plugged into an electric light socket. When we stood up, I thought maybe the carpet was plugged in because I could still feel those electrical shocks going up and down and up and down. And I thought, is this God? Is this mass hysteria? Is this, are we plugged into an electric light socket? And Dan, who's the oldest twin, he was 11 at the time, he said, "Oh, Mom, we have to come back here next Sunday." And I said, "Why? Did you feel anything?" And I thought, of course he did. He's sitting on the same pew I'm sitting on. He's standing on the same carpet. But my youngest little boy said, "Oh, Mom, I felt God in here." Yeah, praise God. I thought, I've got to come back just one more time. Whatever this is, I've got to come back just one more time. And I came back and I was sitting in about the third row the next Sunday. And the evangelist stopped accidentally at our church. He'd never been there before. He was going from either Iceland to British Columbia or British Columbia to Iceland. So it was a divine appointment. I was sitting in about the third row. There were 450 people in this church, and he started preaching to me, just like that. And he wouldn't take his eyes off me, and everything he said started making sense. So I thought they were psychics and that they were reading my mind. So I started doing mathematical equations in my head, trying to throw them. Darko taught me how to multiply two-digit numbers in my head, and that's what I was doing. But the message was registering, and he said, "You need a miracle today. You've come at the end of your rope. You need Jesus." And I thought, no, I don't, because I didn't want to talk to him again. I didn't want to have something that other people didn't have. And he said, "Everybody bow your heads to pray." And I thought, oh, thank God, I don't have to look at him anymore. And he said, "There's the lady in front of me. Her whole family isn't here." He knew my life. He knew everything about me. He said, "She has to lift her hand. Please lift your hand. You have to accept Jesus into your life." And I peeked at him to see if he was... And he was. He was still staring at me. He did mean me. And I tried to look so nonchalant. I thought, he's new here. How does he know I'm the only one that doesn't belong? But, it was the Holy Spirit of God pointing me out. And he finally said, after giving altar call after altar call, and I just wouldn't respond, he said, "If you don't come down here, if you don't put up your hand, I'm going to center you out." I've talked to him since. He said he's never done that in his whole life, either before or after. But I put up my hand not to accept Jesus into my life. I put up my hand so that he wouldn't embarrass me. I didn't know what was coming next. At that moment, it was like angels picked me up by, the scruff of my whatever. And I don't think my feet hit the floor, hit the carpet, and I was down at that altar. And you know that long list of righteousness I had way back, which would have been 11 years ago? All of a sudden, I was at that altar, and I saw myself as a worm. I saw myself as God saw me. All this black stuff started to come out, just pour out. I didn't know where it was coming from, but it was awful. It was gross. And as this was coming out, it was like living water that I had never heard about was just pouring in. It was like Niagara Falls. Praise God. Do you know, at that moment, I was delivered all fear. I was raised on fear. I wish I could tell you the stories how they used to terrorize me. I was afraid of everything. I was afraid of water. I was afraid of animals. I was afraid of dogs. I used to climb up on cars. I used to run into people's homes. I mean, I had terrible, terrible phobias. I had claustrophobia. I was a mess. At 12 years old, I walked totally hunched over, and if somebody looked my way, I just about passed out from fright. Talk about not having any self-confidence. I was just the most insecure person that ever walked the face of the earth. But something happened at that altar. A lot happened at that altar. I was delivered from all fear, fear of everything. I tested it on the biggest dogs. As a matter of fact, there's a story. Yes, when I walked up to a collie and petted a collie, my husband knew something happened. When we went by a 10-foot swimming pool, I jumped into 10-foot deep swimming pool. I jumped into the deep end. I wouldn't take a bath for fear that I was going to drown. I jumped in a 10-foot pool, and he started yelling, "She's drowning, she's drowning, get help." I was doing ballet in that water. I saw this light under my feet propelling me, just a light, just like a spark, just propelling me. I was literally, I was doing the swan dive. I thought it was Gloria, what's her name, you know, way back? I really, my husband knew something happened. So he starts dragging me by my feet and saying, "You got to go to church. You got to go to church. Something's different since you've been going to church." And I said, "Why don't you come and see?" We did the first time. Nothing happened. He did the second time. Nothing happened. But the third time, he walked into Mississauga Gospel Temple. He walked in an atheist, and he walked out a fanatic. He said that God took this great big huge fist and just went right between the eyebrows. That's what God does to atheists from Croatia, right? But at this point in my testimony, I've got to jump forward. And I was on roller skates for God for the next 5 years of my life. It really was. I thought I was going to walk on water. Half the time, I thought I was walking on water. I had faith that just... Whoever reads my book says, "I want the kind of faith you have. I just want the kind of faith you have." But you know, there was something wrong. The poltergeist in our house stopped immediately. Immediately. There was no more supernatural phenomena, except there was something wrong in our family room. The kids sensed it. I sensed it. Every Christian that came into our house sensed it. And my pastor walked in one day, and he was going to come into the family room, and he said, "Oh, Donna, what's in here?" I said, "I don't know, Pastor Fred. You're the pastor. You pray it out. You tell her to go. Won't listen to me." I didn't know much about spiritual warfare, but I understood, you know, binding and loosing and casting out. And I kept asking the Lord what it was, and he kept giving me, he gave me two dreams specifically when I asked him what it was, and I didn't understand them. One time it was the marble head on our coffee table that was talking and jibber-jabbering a mile a minute. So I took the marble head and I threw it in the garbage. Well, then, because my husband likes to go to garage sales and flea markets and things like that, I started moving things out of the family room. But the same... eerie feeling, the hair on the back of your neck would just stand up. So what we did was we just closed that room and we never used it. We put the vacuum cleaner in there, we put the ironing board in there, and any time I told Steve to take out the garbage, he had to go through that room, he just ran as fast as he could. But one day at Mississauga Gospel Temple, and I'm a 5-year-old Christian at this time, and I'm walking on water and I'm on roller skates for God, but I'm how can I put it? It's like I'm spinning my wheels. Everything is 10 times harder. I'm being drained. I'm being drained. I've got a lot of spiritual children that I'm babysitting and nursing, and I used to throw fish at people rather than teach them the fish, but it was more than that. You just knew that it was something. So at our church, Annette Denny, who had pastored, her and her wife had pastored in South Africa, she was teaching a class called the Higher Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I went to the class a couple of times, and I mentioned one time that I hadn't been there, you know, very many times, but I mentioned that there was something wrong in our family room because she brought up demonic spirits, and I had said how our whole house was demonized. I mean, our cars, wherever we went, we were in an accident looking for a place to happen. People used to say, "Donna, you're real nice, but don't come too close. I mean, I don't want your bad luck to rub off on me." So I said that our family room still has something in there, something that won't leave. And she said to me, and this is what I want you to hear tonight. I know this is for quite a few people in here. She said, "Donna, if you were involved with the occult, with psychics, fortune tellers, reading your horoscope, having your fortune told, Ouija boards. She says, did you renounce this 3 and 4 generations back? And I said, no, I don't even know what that is. She said, well, let us pray. And she led me through a simple prayer, renouncing my involvement, asking God to forgive me, covenanting with him that I would never be involved with that again. I don't even read a fortune cookie. I know how serious this stuff is. I do not read a fortune cookie. Half the people in my church read fortune cookies because we go to the Chinese food restaurant every Sunday. And when I bring up the, you know, subject, they say, oh, you're just going too far. No, Satan is Satan. Evil is evil. It's either darkness or light. It's either good or evil. There is no gray area that you can get lost in. It's either of one or it's of the other.
Amen.
So we prayed, and this was about noon on a Friday. I went off to my office. I was still in real estate. My kids went over to my mom and dad's. They'd spend Friday nights there so I could sleep in Saturday morning and have a night off. My husband goes off to the midnight shift about 10 o'clock at night. I had an offer to present, so I ran back and forth and back and forth all night. And I live out in the country in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it is pitch black. I've got one neighbor way, way over there and one neighbor way, way over there. So at midnight, I'm driving home. I'm all by myself. And I can't wait to run into my family room and find it like the rest of the house. I come around the corner, I open the family room door, and what came out of there came out with such a force, it almost knocked me back to where I was almost on the ground. That's the kind of force it hit me with. And it's like it swallowed me alive. I was inside of this thing that was about yay tall and yay wide around me. I was mesmerized with fear. Here I hadn't had no fear for 5 years. I knew I was supposed to bind it in the name of Jesus. I knew everything I was supposed to do. I couldn't open my mouth. I was just... So I shut my eyes really quick. It was so evil. It was so hateful. It was so ugly. And it hated me so much. It wanted to tear me to shreds. I was certain I was going to be torn into a million pieces at that moment. And I thought, I'm just going to wake up in the arms of Jesus. So I stood there. And I said, Lord, you said you would not give us more than we can bear. I don't want to see this thing. I didn't mind that it was going to tear me apart. I just didn't want to see what it was going to do to me because it was that ugly. And finally, I made my way up the stairs. Our bedroom was on the second floor. And I climbed up on the bed and I sat there with my fist clenched, waiting to die. Somewhere around 4 o'clock in the morning, it was just after 4 o'clock, 4 or 4 or something, I opened my eye and peeked at the clock to see what time it was because it was still there. It wanted me destroyed. So I peeked at the time. It was just after 4 o'clock. Continued to sit there. Next thing I know, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm wide awake, so I must have fallen asleep between 4 and 7. I'm wide awake. I'm still alive. And it's gone. So I jump off you could see the imprint of my nails in my hand from just sitting in this position all night, just waiting to die. I go to run down the stairs, and as I'm coming down around the corner, it's like liquid love is pouring out of the family room. And we had the ceramic floor through the hall and into the family room. It felt like flowers were going to start popping up out of the ceramics, and the place was going to start blossoming. So I went into the family room, and I looked around, and it was all gone. And I thought, what was all that about? So the following week, I asked Annette Denny. I told her what happened. And I said, you didn't warn me. And she prayed and she asked the Lord. And she said, that was fear. That was the spirit of fear. She said, your mouth. And every time there's a prophecy, there's always a prophecy about my mouth. The devil is terrified of my mouth. Because it's always flapping and it's always going against him. And it's always praising Jesus. And she said, you're always testifying and you're always saying, I was delivered from fear. Jesus delivered me from fear. She said, that was fear. Oh, I got to get back to the lady at the class the week before. The Lord revealed to her that there were 1,300 demonic spirits in my family room, but they were voices. They weren't spirits. She said, there were 1,300 under the ceiling of my family room. I don't understand why voices. I've never heard of voices of demons before, but she said that's what it was, and she had a floor plan of my house, and that's when we prayed and bound them. So I said, you didn't prepare me for this. You didn't tell me something was going to come out of there. And she said, the Lord revealed to her it was the spirit of fear, and she said, had you gone screaming, raving, ranting out of your front door into your car and driven off, she said, everything would have just moved back in because you didn't believe what you were saying. She said, but you stood your ground. You stood on the word of God. You stood of Jesus, and they all had to leave, not you. And that is broken now forevermore in your life. Psalm 31 says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily, because thou, my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. Thou art my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Warfare is constantly going on, and we have to either be wise and stand on the rock who is Jesus, like my psalm said. He put my feet upon a rock. And we have to believe it to the depth of our being. We have to pray every day. It's not automatic, for a hedge of protection round about us. We have to place a guard of angels around our home. In Joshua 6 and 18, it says, and ye, in any wise, keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourself accursed. This leads me to another story which happened much, much, much later. I don't know what I missed here in my notes when I was making my notes yesterday. Maybe I just got the pages all mixed up. But Achan took the accursed thing and he hid it in his tent. And the wrath of God fell upon the whole congregation of Israel. And the enemy at A, even though that they were just a handful of people, they overtook and defeated the Israelites. And they were struck down because of Achan taking the accursed thing. Verse 13 says Joshua 7, verse 13, you cannot stand against your enemy until you removed the accursed thing. It is serious business. It is serious business. The Achan and his whole family and everything that belonged to him was stoned and burned. Now I realize what I'm missing in this story. But I've got to tell you about a situation where I was... an 11-year-old Christian, and all of a sudden I got sick. This is the second story that the Lord wanted you to know this evening. Because you have to understand how things like this come into our life. The first came into my life because I had never renounced my involvement, and I never severed that generational curse of it off of me and never asked God to forgive me for that particular sin. Number two now was all of a sudden I get very sick, and I'm asking everybody for prayer, and somebody prayed for me. I got fine, and then later on that day I got sick again. A little girl prayed for me once. She was about 7 years old, and she said, oh, Jesus, just please heal Auntie Donna. And he did. I was totally, perfectly fine. And then it came back again later on that day. I was so sick that I could not keep my head up on my shoulders. The doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. They said, you've got some kind of infection, but we haven't got a clue what it was. I was in pain everywhere, especially in my hip area. It just felt like my hips were in a vice and constantly being just pressured to, as if my hips wanted to be pressed into powder. And I kept asking the Lord, what is it, Lord? I know it's demonic when prayer makes it go away and then it comes back. Three times I was prayed for where it left and then it came back. And one day my prayer partner, who thought she never heard from the Lord, she always heard from the Lord, but she just didn't know it. One day she comes and she tells me that she had this horrifying dream. And I haven't interpreted many dreams in my whole Christian walk, but the Lord gave me an instant interpretation of it. She said, Donna, we were at your house and there was a whole bunch of people there that weren't really your relatives, but they kind of belonged to you. Now, I had just had my 25th wedding anniversary at that point. And she said, and there was a man with a young boy on his shoulders, and he handed you this beautiful ball with these pearls in it. She says, it was the rosary, and they were all glistening and shining and throwing off light. And she says, you took it, and you looked at it, and you said, this is the rosary, this is of the devil. And you threw it on the floor, and she said, the thing turned into a rat, and she said, it just grabbed me by the back of my neck and was holding on to me with its fangs. She said, I knew I was supposed to scream for Jesus, but she says, I was screaming for you. I said, Donna, and you came, you took the thing, you threw it on the floor, and I woke up. And I said, Shirley, I was given something at my 25th wedding anniversary. And immediately the Lord told me who it was and what it was. And I'll use the name Joe. Joe gave you a silver tray. And I said, ask God who it is. And the Lord told her, 65 people at my 25th wedding anniversary. And she says, it was Joe in the silver tray. I said, yes. We phoned her other partner in Toronto. And I said, Marcy, I was given something at my 25th wedding anniversary. Ask the Lord who it was and what it is. And she said, just a second. Didn't take her 10 seconds. She said, Joe, the silver tray. I said, yes. We did that 7 times for God to confirm what it was. And I thought, what am I going to do now? I can't give it back. I can't sell it. I can't throw it in the pond on my property. Lord, what am I going to do? And I'm praying for a couple of days. Lord, what am I going to do? And one night at 11:30, this young client, not young, young in the Lord, this client and his wife that I led to the Lord, he calls me at 11:30 at night. He's only been a Christian about 3 months. And he said, Donna, you have to get that thing out of your house tonight. There was an urgency about it. And as he talked, I was in so much pain. I was doubling over. I was totally, totally doubling over. I couldn't sit up. And I said, okay, it's gone. We're taking it to the garbage dump. So I went upstairs. I woke Darko up and I said, we've got to lay hands on this thing. We've got to bind it and we've got to take it to the garbage dump. Took it in a green garbage bag, stuck it in a green garbage bag. The two of us went outside to drive to Milton to the garbage dump. What came at us, these two demons came at us that were either 80 to 100 feet tall. We had a lot of trees on our property. The trees were breaking under the weight of it. And again, the fierceness, the hatred, the evil on it was so incredible that I started running around the car in one direction, yelling, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My husband's running around the car in the other direction, yelling, it's okay, Jesus is here, it's okay, Jesus is here. And we couldn't figure out how to get into the car. We could not figure out how to get inside of the car. It was... You would have had to be there. You would have had to be there. I mean, you know, when they tell me that the enemy has an army, yes, he does. And some of them are 80 to 100 feet tall. And this thing wanted to destroy us, the two of them. I don't know how we ended up in the car, but we did. And we're driving off to Milton with this tray and this green garbage bag. The moment I put it down at the garbage site, I was healed like that. All pain in my body left. I was totally fine. My neck could sustain my head and hold it up on his shoulders. And on the way home, the Lord is telling me, you have to destroy everything from this person. You have to destroy the card and you have to destroy the bow. And I thought, okay, I can destroy the card. But I saved all the bows. You know how you save all the bows? The Lord says, look in the picture, see which gift was theirs. And because their gift was so long and narrow, the bow was very distinct. So I found the bow. And I had a center island kitchen. I take this pot out, and I'm going to burn this in the pot. And I've got flames shooting out of this pot. I'm adding paper, and I'm adding fire to it, and it just wouldn't catch on fire. They would not burn. This is 1 o'clock in the morning now, and my phone rings. And Marcy, my prayer partner, says, the Lord woke me up. He says, you need prayer. And I said, Marcy, pray in the spirit. And I put the phone down. I could hear her praying in the spirit. And I don't know how much paper I put in there. I mean, we had flames this high, and I kept looking in, and it wouldn't burn. And finally, all of a sudden, it caught on fire. And when it did, you could just feel the forces of evil pull back. And I heard Marcy saying, Donna, Donna, I heard her stop praying. Folks, it is so, so serious what you bring into your house. You know, that was way back in about 19, Well, it would have been 1991, right after my 25th wedding anniversary. But I go into people's homes. I go into Christians' homes. It is incredible what I see there. One of the first giftings the Lord gave me from the day I was a babe in the Lord, He gave me the gift of discerning of spirits. I didn't know how it worked. I didn't understand how it worked. But every time I came into somebody's home, and I would know, I would turn around to see what was it over there, and it was always an owl or a frog. Every time. I have been scolded by pastors and said, God made frogs, Donna. There's nothing wrong with frogs. And I said, I don't know why it works like that. I can walk into somebody's home and know that they have either a frog or an owl in the other room or in that room or wherever it's coming from. I just know by the gift of discerning of spirits. Like I said, I don't understand it. I just know it always works like that. I was sitting in one pastor's wife's house one time. I preached in her church. I was just sitting there. We were just having coffee, talking about nothing important. And all of a sudden, they said, you have something in your house that you shouldn't have. And she said, tell me what? And I said, the Lord told me feathers. And she went, oh. She said, I can't remember what she called it, but apparently it's an endangered species here in the States. And she said she had it in her freezer. And I said, well, get it out of your house. I mean, the things that Christians have in their homes, I have even seen Buddhas. In Christians' homes. I have seen things just in Monroe. Last week, I preached in Monroe. One of the elders had us at their house for dinner. I walked into their house. As soon as I walked into their house, it's like radar. I went to the thing on the mantle. So I didn't want to walk in and walk directly to it. I thought, let them get to know me a little bit first, you know. I won't scare them if I talk normal for a while. So after dinner, I walked over to the thing, and I said, what is this? She said, we got this in Thailand. There's some kind of horns or something. And I looked, and on the other side, it had two beady red eyes. I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was carving out. And I said, you don't have to take my word for this. I want you to ask God. I want you to ask God, but you get this thing out of your home, and you get it out of it soon. And I said, ask the Lord. He will show you. He will tell you. I cannot stress enough how we have to do a house cleaning in our home from things people give us. You know, I have walked into people's homes and there's been an ordinary white dish sitting on the coffee table and I couldn't talk. It bothered me so much. And I would have to pick the thing up and there's no engraving on it, no design on it, no picture on it, nothing. And I said to this one Christian that should have known a lot better, I said, what is this thing? Why is it bothering me? She says, oh, a lady gave it to me. She says, she's real funny. She has one of those occult shops. I said, what is it doing in your house? You know, I asked the Lord why this tray could have caused me so much grief, you know, and pain and sickness. And it was an ex-employer that I had hadn't even seen for 10 years. But the Lord showed me that way back he was involved with psychics and having his fortune tellers, fortunes told. But way back in like the late 1970s, early 1980s, he was paying $250 for his astrological chart. So he was in the really real stuff. So by now, the Lord showed me he's heavily into New Age. But I said, Lord, I have the gift of discerning of spirits, Lord. I can go into a house and an ashtray will bother me and this thing's been in my house for 3.5 months. How come? And he says, we put our guard down. We put our guard down. I trusted people that I knew. I trusted from whom I received something from, so I didn't inquire of the Lord. I didn't inquire of the Lord. We cannot depend on our gifting. We cannot depend on anything but the Spirit of the Lord showing us. And I would ask that you go home tonight and you ask the Lord if there's anything in your home that you need to get rid of. You wouldn't believe how many Christians will not get rid of owls and frogs after I've told them, after I've shown them in Joshua, get rid of the cursed thing. Don't bring it into your house. They'll say, well, my mother gave this to me, or my granddaughter gave this to me. And then, you know, they get a sermonette from me. But I'm called radical, and I didn't do it for years, lately, since I've been here, as I explained, the Lord brought me here, and I read those manuals that you gave me, Sister Irma, and frogs and owls was the first thing that I noticed. It kept jumping out everywhere. My pastors were telling me, Donna, there's nothing wrong with frogs and owls. There's something wrong with your discerning, you know? And when I read that, I got very, very, very bold. Half of the people listen, half of them don't. I tell them to ask the Lord, and then their blood is on their head, not mine. But I never, since I was here last year, I've never once walked into a home, discerned something, and never had a lot to say about it, and told them from A to Z. So, two things tonight. I want you to go home, ask the Lord if there's anything in your home that shouldn't be there, anything that you need to get rid of. And the second thing, I want anybody that has been involved in the occult, and I mean as simple as reading your horoscope. It's not simple. It is occult. O-C-C-U-L-T. Occult. If you've read your horoscope, you've never repented of it, you've never renounced it three and four generations back, I want you to come down to this altar tonight. I want to pray for you. Anybody else that wants to come down for healing, I would love to pray for you. There's other ministry team people here that will pray for you. I'm just going to ask you now as I close the service, if those that would like to come for prayer would come down now. I thank you all for having me. I can't be here for the rest of the conference. I have to leave for Canada tomorrow morning because we're driving. I have to be on a plane for overseas on Wednesday, so it's going to take me 2.5 days to get there, so I have to leave tomorrow morning. But I've enjoyed it greatly, and I thank you so much for having me. Please, if somebody, where's the gentleman? If somebody could come down and play on the piano, please. And those that need to come, please come now.
Amazing grace, how sweet, sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now, thank God I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Praise God. Well, amazing grace, how sweet, sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now, thank God I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.